Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the little chapel made of bones, as in skeletal remains of humans.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Then if you prefer having an ad-free version of the show, you'll also get advance episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber. You can do that through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days absolutely free. Or you can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and my sister Kathy Gordon is with us today.
Hey everybody, how you doing?
This is kind of fun today because we have another guest, your daughter, my niece. Everybody say hello to Caitlin Gordon.
Hey.
I was thinking
Hi, Aunt Carol.
I was thinking I had sound effects for that or something, but we got.
You should have like applause
I have
or
crickets.
Something.
That's not what I want.
No,
that's not what I want. No. Yes, that's the sound effect I wanted. Caitlin Gordon's here today. Excuse me, Caitlin Church. You got married. I keep forgetting.
Oh, it's fine. Either works.
So we got, Kathy and I, got a group text from you. Let's start with where you're at and what you're doing, Kate. You are halfway across the world from us in Spain today.
Yes, today I am in Spain, but the day I texted you, I was in a little town called Faro, Portugal.
And you are on a very extended trip to Europe, not sure when you're coming back. You and your wife are exploring and having all the fun, and Kathy and I get to live vicariously through you, which is amazing. And you took your dog. And what is Winston's Instagram page?
Winston the Wander Pup. So it's Winston period the period Wander Pup.
So follow that page because it's really cute because you can follow Winston's travels through Europe, which has really been fun. So you guys are doing a good job on that.
And yeah, he's pretty adorable.
He's very adorable.
He really is.
So last week, Kathy and I get these texts and it was 5:44 a.m., that's okay. I, of course, was sound asleep.
Oh, no, let me preface that with the fact was I am up, right? It's 5:30. I'm up at 5:30 in the morning. So I'm getting texts from Kate. And here it is, 5:30 in the morning. And the first thing I get is like this weird text that says, Carol,
Want to see the creepiest chapel I've ever been in? And that's saying something, because that one in Rome was creepy. And we'll talk about the one in Rome in a minute.
Right.
And then she said, I need your consent before I send these pictures. So Kathy's like, yeah, I can
send. Oh, hell yeah. Like, creepy pictures at 5:30 in the morning? You bet. Let's go for it.
And then Kate says, Carol? With a whole bunch of question marks. And Kathy says, it's not even 6 a.m. She's definitely not up. Which I was not.
But I was just hoping you were. And I could not wait to send you those pics.
Because it's a 7-hour difference in time. So you said, Kate said, well, she does host a ghost podcast, so, and then you sent the pictures. I want, Kate, if you could tell us what it was that you sent the pictures of.
I sent the pictures of a chapel called Capella dos Osos, and it is in the Iglesia do Carmo Church. And it is a bone chapel.
And by bone chapel, you mean... It's freaking human bones.
The entire chapel is built completely of skeletons. Like the walls, the everything in there is not decorative elements that are here and there. The entire thing is covered in skeletons. I believe 1,250 skeletons make up this chapel.
And every surface of the chapel.
Every single surface.
And to try to put this in your head of what this looks like, it's not a full skeleton. They took them apart. So you're going to have a row of skulls with a row of femur bones underneath it, with a row of, like, they mixed and matched bones to create patterns in this
chapel.
As one
does.
Yes, as one does.
Yeah. And then there are all these skulls in there. So then it looks like they're all looking at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're just like glued or attached to the walls, and the walls are solid bones. Now, Kate, my question is, how did they end up with this? Like, how do you just get skeletons this way?
Okay. So all of these skeletons were monks from the Carmelite order. And, you know, record keeping back then was not so great. So we assume that that's what they were, but it's possible they weren't. And all of these monks' bodies had been buried in cemeteries. So they had this brilliant idea, right? Of, well, we have to start exhuming bodies. There's way too many bodies in these cemeteries. What are we going to do with them? And the Algarve is a really beautiful place. And I think people love living there. And they go around, they live a joyful life, and that honestly, from what I've read, kind of annoyed the monks, right? They weren't being serious enough. They weren't thinking of death. So they were big into memento mori, right? Reminders of death. So they had this kind of two-part problem that they solved with this concept.
I don't mean to laugh because it's morbidly weird. That's why I'm laughing.
I know, it's really odd. It's unlike anywhere I've ever been. But the first one that was built was in Evora, and it was actually the Franciscan monks. So it was a different place, I think a couple hours away. And they came up with this idea. And essentially, they built an even bigger chapel. And just to make sure that people got the idea of, like, look, death will be upon you one day. Think about it. They actually hung up a couple of bodies in this chapel. So just in case that, you know, the walls covered in femur bones and skulls didn't get the point across, they hung up a couple of bodies there, and they even made like a chandelier. But that's where this whole thing originated. And there are apparently six across Portugal. I think the one I went to is one of the most well-known because it's very, there's a lot of skeletons there. It's pretty bad.
The question I have is, so when you walked in there, every surface is human remains. It's all bones and skeletons. And it also makes you wonder if You know, because it's very patterned. Like, you could tell. They yeah. thought about it. So it just makes you think, you know, we need some more femur bones. Just go get them, you know, from somebody else. You know, did they just have exactly the right number? I don't know. Anyway, when you walked in there, was it a really weird feeling?
Yeah, I was not in there for very long. I was maybe in there for like 90 seconds at the most. I snapped those little pictures and Lindsay, my wife, was like pointing out a couple things to me and I couldn't even hear her. I was like, I got to get out of here. I do not like this at all. It feels very dark and it's also not in pristine condition. It's not very well maintained. It's not being kept up with to the degree it should be. That almost sounds weird because like who cleans or restores that kind of place? But like they're decaying, right? There are lots that are falling out. There's, you know, you look at the bones and they're just like covered in holes because they're decaying. And that just added to the overall darkness of the feeling in that room for mm-hmm. me.
And I have to say a couple of things. One is that when I first looked at the pictures from across the Atlantic Ocean all the way over to the middle of the United States, I saw that and it like took my breath away in not a great way. Like I felt this weird stifling feeling, kind of weird suffocating feeling with it. And I'm looking at these pictures thinking, I can't breathe. Did you feel that way in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I couldn't, you know, while I was in there for the short time I was, it was like I couldn't really find a place to stand where I felt safe. I don't know how to explain that, but like I didn't want any of my body to be oriented where my back was facing any of these bones, right? And the whole thing is made of that. So that's an impossible task. But it just was like, I just couldn't stand anywhere that felt comfortable. And, you know, people are buried there. It's like a little cemetery in the backyard of this church, the courtyard, I guess. So there are tombstones all over, and the floor in this chapel is made of tombstones. So there are people buried underneath you too. It's not just the skeletons. It's also the ground. Like you're completely covered in dead people.
So do you think the creepy sense that you got was more because, ooh, bones, creepy. Or was it, did you feel like, cause you get that sense. You have it too, where you walk in a place and you feel like, ooh, I got to get out.
Yeah. And I did feel, ooh, I got to get out. I didn't have any kind of like paranormal experience while I was there. But I, like the whole time I was there, I just felt gross. Like it just felt like this sickening sense in my body, mm-hmm. a physical reaction to that.
I can see that.
Gross. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I want to throw in just something from an art historical point of view, and that is this mm-hmm. memento mori concept. It is really all over, and I think in particularly Portugal, Spain, Italy, that kind of area right in there. And when you're there, you could be walking down a street and walk past a building, and there's a skull and crossbones on it. And while I was there, I kept thinking, why am I seeing this, you know, everywhere I go? And so I did some research, and it kind of is an involved, it is a reminder of death, that death will come for you. And so you would think, so why would you just have this like here on the street, or it could be on the ground, you're walking on one, or, you know, they're just everywhere. And of course, in churches, they're very elaborate and, you know, huge. But the idea is, as macabre as it seems, it's really trying to get people to lead a good life. So I'm going to remind you that death could come and it could come any moment. So today is a good day to lead a good life. Don't, you know, steal, rob, do whatever, you know, don't do bad things. Because remember, it could happen any moment.
I have a comment about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it really that? Or was it just the Catholics in the church trying to remind people like, you need to start going to church and give us money to get right with the Lord? Well, before you die, because that could happen any day.
It does remind you to go to church. And at that time, there were a lot of these indulgences. So you could go in and say, okay, so what's my bill? You know, like how many, you know, what do I owe you to get rid of these sins? And they would go, well, it's $25 or whatever. And so you pay this. And that's kind of what led to the whole schism and the breaking up of the church.
That's so bizarre to me. Like today, you could walk into a Catholic church and go, you know what? I robbed the bank and I need this off my chest. How much?
You got to be absolved, right?
It's like $50 for this. You got it.
They're not doing that today. But, you know, there were people who were especially rich people of royalty, you know, like somebody's, like, you know, some prince would, you know, get in a fight and kill somebody and they'd go, okay, it's going to cost you $1,000 and you go to pilgrimage. You know, you got to go clear down to Spain and say you're sorry. So they would have to go on pilgrimage or sometimes on a crusade, you know, or something like that to be absolved of their sins. So that could happen. But, you know, like I said, the idea is that these are reminders to do well, lead a good life, because you just don't know when death comes.
Well, and we went to four of us, actually, my friend Lynn was with us, but we all went to Rome. And we went to this church. It was Bernini Church. It was beautiful. And then we're looking, like, walking around.
We went to Sant'Andrea El Quirinale.
So we're, like, walking around. And we see, hey, you can go over here and see this, I don't know, chapel or something. And it was like,
that cost you a euro.
Yeah, it was 2 euros, I think.
2 euros.
2 euros. And we're like, that's a deal. Let's do that. And yeah. So we go up there, and it was like, all these paintings and like the original doors of the church were up there from like 1200 or something like that. It was crazy. And then we look over and there's this room with this. It doesn't really look like what
it's a normally would shrine.
Yeah. But it was like a full size sculpture of a man laying there kind of
on a funeral bed.
On a funeral bed, but he's kind of leaned up. It was weird. It's not like him just laying there with his arms crossed over his chest, you know? So Kate and I walked in there first. Now I walk in and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, this place is off. Like the energy in here is bad and my heart started racing. It was almost like I'm having a panic attack. And then Kate's right behind me and then Kate's like, whoa. Like this.
So, I know. I think I grabbed you.
Because the energy in that room was so insane. So then Kathy and Lynn are still in the other room. Kathy walks in. Kathy does the same thing. It was like it hit the three of us just like a slap in the face. It was so intense.
I felt like when I walked in, like I walked into a wall. Like I literally couldn't get over as far as you guys even were. And I was like trying, but it's like, there is something that is holding on to me. Like, I can't even move. I can't get that far. And, like, I was, like, panicky. And I felt my heart racing. And it was a hard time breathing. It felt so stifling in there.
And then Lynn walked in, and she was like, what?
She was. That's exactly her reaction.
It was so funny because we're like, don't you feel it? She's like, what is it that you feel when you have this experience?
I think we should post a couple pictures for people that can go to and look at this. But it is, you know, like this man, it was Jesuit priest, laid out on this bed. And it's, you know, it's his moment of death, of dying that's in this. And it's full size. We're standing around this moment of death shrine, which is where he's buried too. What it was Stanislav Kostka was his name. And he was a saint, Saint Stanislav. He was from Poland and he was born in 1550. And he was born to a rather wealthy family in Poland. And, you know, this is the stuff we didn't know because we couldn't read the sign very well that was out there in front of that. It's exactly who this guy was. And so he and his brother were sent to basically a Jesuit boarding school. And the brother was pretty nasty. Like they fought a lot and the two brothers didn't get along very well. And Stanislaus was not in great health by the sounds of it. And he had an episode while he was at this boarding school where he got very, very sick, and he had a vision where the Virgin Mary came to him and she handed the Christ child as a baby to him in this vision he was having. And he took that as a sign that he should join the Jesuit order. So he decides to do that. His brother says no and like beats him. The brother beats Stanislav. And apparently there were numerous times this brother was really mean and beat him and like broke bones and things beating him.
I'm just going to call him an asshole.
You know, so yeah. He was really nasty. So he decides that he wants to join this Jesuit order. So he talks to them, the Jesuits, and there where they are. And they said, you can't do it here because we're afraid of your dad. Your dad is very powerful and he doesn't want you to do this. And we would never get any more money from him again if you do this, right? So we don't want you to do it here. But if you go 400 miles away to Germany, Augsburg, Germany, you could do it there. So he decides to do it. He takes off his really grand, beautiful clothes because he's rich. He puts on this kind of hermit, kind of monk robe thing. And he takes off and he walks. And apparently the brother tried to follow him, but the horses kept stopping and wouldn't keep going. And so they weren't able to follow him. But he gets the 400 miles and he's there. And they're like, oh my gosh, you really do want to be a monk. We think this is great. Rest up. And then they send him another 600 miles to Rome. Okay. So he gets to Rome. He's not feeling very good because apparently he's not in that great of health. And he just walked 1,000 miles. And he gets to Rome and he's there for about 10 months. He's not there for an entire year. And he gets very sick. And he says, I am so sick. I think I'm going to die. And they're like, well, you know, like, you're not dying. And he goes, no, I think I'm going to die like day after tomorrow. And they're like, no, you're not dying. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. As you would say to somebody, right? Like, no, you're fine. You're fine. And so the next day he's like, I think I'm going to die tomorrow. And they're like, no, you're fine. He died tomorrow. He died that day. So he had these visions. And so here's the thing. I can't figure out where his miracles are in this. This is the best I can figure out. He predicted his death maybe was one, but you know, I thought that one was kind of weak because we could all feel like we're dying on any, you know, like I'm really feeling bad. I feel like I'm dying. So I thought that was kind of a weak one. I'm not sure. He walked 1,000 miles. I'm not exactly sure what his miracles were that they were able to canonize him. But with that said, he is the patron saint of broken bones, of compresses, of sicknesses. And Carol, are you ready for this?
Secretaries?
Palpitations.
Oh, which is what we found
which
when
is
we
what
were
we
in
all
there.
Had.
My God.
Because it was the weirdest. Well, that happens to me frequently when I do feel something, my heart starts racing really bad. But all three of us, our hearts were like, ooh, hey, like out of our chest.
Yeah. I'm just glad that that's all we ended up with and not broken bones.
It's like my heart's palpitating.
But he was from Poland. So a lot of areas in the United States that had a lot of Polish immigrants will have churches dedicated to him. And by the way, he was 17 when he died.
What? Because his sculpture made him look much older than 17.
That's what I thought too. I was surprised.
And they built a whole room for him. That's pretty amazing. Like
lot of stuff that happened before, you know, in 17 years. But
do you want to hear the story about the little red house that needed an exorcism?
I do.
Yeah. Okay, so here it goes. A couple of years ago, I bought a cute little red house in a small town, 3,000 people, about 10 miles south of Green Bay, Wisconsin. I lived there alone with my then 6-year-old son. My bedroom was on the first floor, and my son's and a spare bedroom were on the second floor. The second floor always gave me the creeps. I wonder, that makes me think of St. Stanislaus. Like, if you're feeling heart palpitations or creepy feelings that's making your heart race because of a paranormal activity, can he help you with that? I don't know.
It could be worth it.
Because he seemed to cause it.
I say it's worth a quick prayer.
Might as well.
We need to find out who the patron saint is to help you with that stuff. Mm-hmm. On the weekends when my son was at his dad's house, I'd hear such violent running around in the bedroom above me that the chandelier in my bedroom would shake so hard. My only solution was to buy earplugs. And this is what it says, you guys. My only solution was to buy earplugs because I'm a tough motherfucker.
I like this person.
I like her. It's like, they are running around so much in the room above me that my chandelier is shaking. I'm just going to buy earplugs. Okay. Guys. A year later, my son started telling me that a woman and two kids in his bedroom kept him awake at night. I promptly convinced my then boyfriend to move in with his daughter, mostly because I was scared, but I never told him that. Because if you have a reputation as a tough father rocker. After a few months of them living with us, my boyfriend's daughter wasn't feeling well and was lying on the couch in the spare bedroom above my bedroom. I went up to check on her and she was curled up in a ball on one side of the couch, looking irritated and scared. I asked her what was wrong and she pointed her toe to the other side of the couch and said, "That little girl, the one who lives in the couch, won't leave me alone." Okay, that's creepy. The one that lives in the couch.
Lives in the couch?
My guess
is... Time to burn the couch.
Obviously. Time to go to
Ashley Furniture. I'm calling
Ashley
Furniture and getting a new one.
Kathy and I at the same time. Ashley Furniture. Give me a non-haunted couch. I'm putting this one on Facebook for free. A couple nights later, my son came running into my bedroom crying that he came down to get a drink of water where we always had a few nightlights, and he insisted there was a wolf with red eyes staring at him. Also, my son and my boyfriend's daughter both started getting irritable, crabby, defiant, and borderline violent. I immediately called my mom and had her get me in touch with a pastor who performed an exorcism. This is random. So I'm going to start that sentence again. I immediately called my mom and had her get me in touch with a pastor who had performed an exorcism on her house when I was 10 years old. What are the odds of that? Almost makes you wonder, is it something with her or is it the house? Mm-hmm. He came over to pray over the house, and then on the way down the stairs, both of my sisters felt something rush past them. We didn't have any incidents, for a while. Within the next few months, I decided to put my creepy house up for sale in November of 2015. The day I accepted an offer on the house in December, my son, same scenario, coming downstairs for a drink, came busting into my room bawling that there was a sheep with red eyes in the kitchen, first a wolf, then a sheep. The next day, we began packing everything up. And here's where it gets real scary. So none of that was scary before then. I mean, because this is like, I can't imagine. If your kid's coming to you and saying, "I'm seeing a wolf or a sheep with red eyes, and there's a girl living in the couch, there's the chandelier shaking." Okay, so, but here's where it takes a turn and gets real scary. We had this tiny, eerie half basement room, of course, off the kitchen. The house didn't have an actual basement, only a crawl space that went under the kitchen and half of the house. And this half basement that you had to duck your head to walk around in. I sent my son down there to clean the cat litter while taking the trash to the garage. And I heard him yelling for me. So I nonchalantly walked back into the house, asked him what was up. He looked at me with huge eyes and said, "Something told me kill your mom, but I don't want to." Every muscle in my body froze and I went icy cold. I asked him to repeat it, hoping I misheard, and sure as shit, something audibly and hoarsely in a man's voice told him to kill me. Like, she heard it then. I threw him and the cat in the car, went straight to my parents' house an hour and a half away. I called the pastor and told him, and he said that sometimes demons can lay dormant and whatever was whatever it was probably hiding in the dark, cold, damp basement or the dank crawl space and wasn't happy we were leaving. I never went back in that house alone. It turns out it was built in 1900, but that's all I found out. It seems to have had some odd guarded past. Needless to say, I was a skeptic before, but I'm a full-blown believer now. You don't fuck around with the spiritual world. Anyway, have a great day. Enjoying my non-haunted abode, Brianna.
Wow. Wow.
So that's creepy stuff. Okay.
Do you think she still lives in Wisconsin? Because I would have to flee the whole state. I don't think I could get far enough.
Yeah, what's a good non-haunted state? Is there one?
Okay, so, you know, the chandelier thing kind of creeps me out. And, you know, I know there were even more kind of demonic-ish sort of things than that, but something about that chandelier really kind of got to me.
So despite the fact that something was telling her child to kill her is not as creepy as the chandelier.
No, I'm not saying that isn't creepy too, but like, I just, you know, the thought of things moving, you know, around and, you know, that's just super disturbing. And I can't believe the kids would make this up. Like, children don't make up these kinds of stories.
No.
Not about killing your parent.
No, and not about seeing a sheep with red eyes or a wolf with red eyes, you know. I just find it hard that kids that small would just don't have the experiences of life to pull on to say those kinds of things, you know?
Okay, what about this, though? How weird is it that when she was 10, she lived in a house that they came and did an exorcism on the house, and now it's happening again because, like, for real, I don't know one person who's had an exorcism done on their house. And I know quite a few people. It's just, to me, to live two places in your life that needs an exorcism. At first, I thought it was following her, maybe. But then she said, enjoying my non-haunted abode at the end. So she doesn't feel that around her still. So it probably was connected to the house.
Well, maybe it's a combination. Maybe the house brings out something in her.
Maybe.
And, you know, I think you could live in two haunted houses. I think that could happen.
No, not just haunted. Yeah, two haunted. I've lived in two haunted houses. You've lived in two haunted houses.
You didn't.
Kate did. But I just think two that are to the point you need an exorcism. That's a different level. Like that's it's not good when you got to call the pastor.
No, I have a follow-up question here.
Okay.
Because actually the last time I was on the podcast, it was my car that was haunted.
Yes.
And I remember you, me and Tony all being like, well, when I go to sell it, do I have to disclose that this car is haunted? The answer is, I don't think so. And I sold a car. So sorry to the person that bought my haunted car. Anyways, my question is, if you know that your house is haunted and you're going to sell it, do you have to disclose that information to the buyer?
I think there's some laws about if someone died in the house. But I don't know about, and even then, I think there's a window of amount of time. Like if it was 75 years ago and someone died in the house. You know, some of the houses in the South are really old, or in the Northeast, you know, really, really old houses. A lot of those old houses had somebody die in them. But I think it's
you know, Lindsay, she had a house that somebody did a very scary act in the kitchen in, I think, the 20s or 30s. So.
You can't say that and not tell us what the very scary act was.
Well, it was a person who now, you know, we have better health terminology for, but had some kind of mental illness. And I believe it was a female person who the parents rarely left her alone. I think she was in her 20s, maybe. And there was a really old, cool oven, you know, and she ended up sticking her head in it and killing herself in the oven.
Did she feel like the house was haunted?
No, but, you know, Lindsay doesn't believe in any kind of paranormal or anything. So.
she's just stood in that bone chapel like a just trooper.
Hey, check this out. And I was like, no, I'm not about to check it out. I'm about to check myself out of this experience.
Oh, gosh. Okay, you guys, I do have an answer for the state thing disclosure. Okay. There are three states that you must disclose. New York and New Jersey. And Massachusetts, apparently. Oh, wait a minute. There's one more, Minnesota. They do have some sort of thing on record. Like, you would have to, in New Jersey, you have to tell the potential buyers that the property comes with phantom roommates, if asked.
If asked.
Yeah, but not necessarily if not asked. And so they're kind of all like that, but apparently there's only those four states that have anything at all about it on there.
Wow.
But I asked the woman after I closed on my house, because I'm like, okay, this might be the wrong time to ask you this, and I hope you give me the right answer, but is my house haunted? she's like, actually, I think it has a super great energy. It's not a dark energy, but like, and I do feel like there's some loving presence here. That it's just a good feeling house, you know. Mm-hmm. But
there's
a very distinct difference
between the two.
Yes, but
In New York, apparently, it has more to do financially. Like, if your house has a reputation for ghosts, and that could be financially difficult to resell that house or something. You know, like if it's been on Ghost Hunters or something, and then you buy this house, and then later people go, oh, well, I saw that on Ghost Hunters. I'm not going to buy that house, right? So apparently there's some sort of like financial thing in New York about telling people.
And I think there is a market for haunted houses. I mean, there's people, I've talked to them, and they're actively looking to buy a haunted house.
We just did a show about a guy who bought two haunted hospitals.
Right. Yeah, the Harriman Hospital and in Tennessee, and the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. He didn't have just one haunted hospital. He had two.
No, thank you.
Kate, while you're on your travels, will you please keep us posted if you run into any more haunted locations?
Well, of course. And also, if any of your listeners have suggestions in Spain, if they've been anywhere super creepy, just let me know. I'll go check them out.
Yeah, just message me.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call in anytime. It's 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Write in there if you want to share a haunted, spooky place with Kate. If you want an ad-free version of the show, along with advanced episodes, access to the archive, become a premium subscriber. Do that through Apple Podcasts. Try it 3 days free. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Rocketmoney.com/cancel.